shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians called to a higher level of understanding will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
Well, hello there, good old friends of ours. I am Orrin Petito, coming to you from the broadcasting studios on the St. John's River in Florida. What you are about to hear is very important information that could very well save your life during the soon coming tribulation about to befall the United States and the entire world. The information is shocking, but the message of hope will quicken your spirit and assure you of your survival and entry into Almighty God Yahweh's new order, which is about to be established here on earth. So listen carefully, follow the instructions that will carry you through the storm as we ask you to come in from the rain. As we draw near to the end of this age, we are seeing the judgment of Almighty God begin to fall upon our nation. We also begin to wonder how our great nation will fare with Almighty God. We know that America is wicked. We have departed so far from Almighty God Yahweh and His ways. But we can't help looking back and seeing how much Almighty God has blessed this great nation of ours in spite of ourselves. We of all nations are the most blessed. We have so many things to praise and thank Almighty God for. We still have some liberty and rights to express our opinions and views. We still have choices we can make in our daily lives. We still have the privilege of serving Almighty God in whatever religious faith we care to follow. We still have food to eat, water to drink, and places to live. However, these items may soon vanish and disappear as time goes on. Jobs will become more scarce. As Jewish-owned multinational manufacturing plants, the auto industry, Boeing's, General Motors, and so forth, continue moving their plants and factories to Europe, Mexico, and Asia, where labor is much cheaper. Race riots will escalate. Anarchy and crime will take to the streets as these items of livelihood become scarce. Murder, lawlessness, rape, and arson will become a common daily affair as roving mobs loot, rob, and burn, seeking food and drink, like they did in the L.A. race riot. With this, we can see the wisdom of Almighty God when He told us to get out of the cities and towns and head for the hills and country. In the parable of the wheat and the tares, the binding together in bundles of the tares is a picture of the wicked bound together in mass like our cities, where they will be burned up in mass hysteria, arson, rape, and murder. When Almighty God rains fire and brimstone from heaven, and when Gog and Magog bomb our cities and invade them with troops, what kind of protection will our cities provide then? None. One nuclear bomb could wipe out a million in a moment of time. The New World Order says that 2 billion must die. They are endeavoring to do this by instigating war in Iraq and elsewhere, genocide for the Kurds, creating starvation conditions and racial unrest in Africa, and creating the HIV virus in the effort to reduce the population in the third world nations. But Almighty God will show them how quickly He can reduce the world population not by 2 billion, but by more than 3.3 billion in His great and terrible day of God's judgment. Listen to Zechariah the 13th chapter, the 8th verse. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith Almighty God Yahweh, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third part shall be left therein. These figures express a global number, because when Almighty God Yahweh shakes the heavens and the earth, the heathen nations are less prepared and less able to withstand the destruction of Almighty God's phenomenal judgment of comets, earthquakes, windstorms, and fire than we in America are. If 2/3 of the earth's population are going to be destroyed in the great and terrible day of Almighty God's wrath, how many would that be? How many people are there in the world? The last global count, or guess, was about 4.5 billion people. Let's say 5 billion for the sake of round numbers. So we multiply 5 billion by 2/3, and we get 3.3 billion. Then we subtract 3.3 billion from 5 billion, and we get 1.7 billion left on the entire earth. Okay, so 1.7 billion would be left, and 3.3 billion will die in Yahweh's judgment. The U.S. population is about 300 million, or about 1/3 of a billion. So let's figure Uncle Sam's loss of life. 300 million multiplied by 2/3 equals 200 million. Subtract 200 million from 300 million, and we get 100 million left in the United States. That means 200 million will die in Almighty God's judgment. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. Zechariah the 13th chapter, 8th and 9th verses. Remember Ezekiel, the 14th chapter, the 12th through 21st verses, where it said, though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they shall deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith Yahweh Elohim. Their righteousness was by trying to keep the laws through their faith in Almighty God Yahweh, that He was their righteousness. And the same is going to be true in the final mop-up judgment of the great and terrible day of Yahweh. If your faith isn't in Jesus Christ and His biblical program, you will not make it. Jesus Christ and the keeping of the laws to the best of your ability are your only hope of salvation and survival. We wonder how much of America will be destroyed. How many cities will be completely destroyed, or what about our highways, roads, and bridges? Will our dams and hydroelectric power plants still be operational in some of our TV and radio stations? No one really knows what it will be like. I went into my library and selected the little booklet that describes Washington's vision and turned to the place where it told about the invasion of America by the communists, and I quote, then my eyes beheld a fearful scene. From each of these countries arose thick, black clouds, which were soon joined into one. And throughout this mass there gleamed a dark red light by which I saw hordes of armed men who, moving with the cloud, marched by land and sailed by sea to America, which country was enveloped in the volume of the cloud. I dimly saw these vast armies devastate the whole country and burn the villages, towns, and cities that I had beheld springing up. As my ears listened to the thundering of the cannon, clashing of swords and shouts and cries of millions in mortal combat, I again heard the mysterious voice saying, "Son of the Republic, look and learn." When the voice had ceased, the dark, shadowy angel placed his trumpet once more to his mouth and blew a long and fearful blast. Instantly, a light, as of a thousand suns, shone down from above me and pierced and broke into fragments the dark cloud which enveloped America. At the same moment, the angel upon whose head still shone the word Union, and who bore our national flag in one hand, a sword in the other, descended from heaven, attended by legions of bright spirits. These immediately joined the inhabitants of America, who I perceived were well nigh overcome, but who immediately, taking courage, closed up their broken ranks and renewed the battle. Instantly the dark cloud rolled back, together with the armies it had brought, leaving the inhabitants of the land victorious. Then once again I beheld villages, towns, and cities springing up where they had been before, while the bright angel, planting the standard he had brought into the midst of them, cried with a loud voice, "While the stars remain and the heavens send down dew upon the earth, so long shall the Republic last." And taking from his brow the crown on which was blazoned the word Union, he placed it upon the standard, while the people kneeling said, "Amen." The end of, quote, of George Washington's vision. George Washington's vision shows that our cities, towns, and villages are going to be destroyed. Everything will have to be rebuilt. According to Ezekiel, it will take 7 years to clean up the mess and get all the dead buried. But praise Yahweh, America will be reborn, rebuilt, redeemed, and its citizens regenerated into the kingdom of Almighty God on earth, with Jesus Christ as our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So hurry and come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Maranatha. In 1948, the UN approved the partition of Palestine into Jewish and Arab states. Israel was proclaimed a state May 14, 1948. Of course, the Arabs rejected the partition but failed to defeat the Jews in war, whereupon millions of Christians around the world were rejoicing then in believing that the Jews, as part of Israel, were finally beginning to fulfill prophecy by returning back to the Promised Land to set up the millennial kingdom of Christ. Years have passed, and the Jewish nation has failed to be a blessing to all the families of the earth, as Genesis, the 12th chapter, the 3rd verse, said they should be. Instead, they have been just the opposite. They have brought war, bloodshed, misery, poverty, and fear upon the whole world. Instead of receiving Jesus Christ as their Messiah, which is essential to establish citizenship in the millennial kingdom of Christ on earth, they have made it a major part of their philosophy and way of life to reject Jesus Christ and to destroy Christianity in general. You would think that the Christians who were deceived into believing that the Jews were Israel would finally get their eyes opened by seeing what the Jews are doing in the Middle East to the Palestinians. But we have a bunch of blinded, sappy Christians that are brainwashed into believing that the Jews can do no wrong, and when we try to show them the truth of who the Jews really are, they brand us as bigots and racists. However, Paul the Apostle says it is now time to expose and reveal the man of sin, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, the following away of true worship and knowledge of Almighty God is definitely here, and the Babylonian Charter of Seven Times ended in 1917. And then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. 2 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter, 8th verse. This wicked one we have identified as Esau Edom, and his progeny of international Jews, trilateralists, and all wickedness in high places. Almighty God is allowing him to exalt and expose himself so that Almighty God can destroy him during Almighty God's great and terrible day of judgment. John, the beloved apostle of Christ, also speaks about the progeny of Esau Edom, who is the man of sin. I know thy works and tribulation and pretended poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Israelites and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Revelations, the 2nd chapter, 9th verse. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Israelites, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Revelations, the 3rd chapter, the 9th verse. In 135 to 106 B.C., one of the rulers of the Israelites rose up and conquered the whole nation of Edom to stop their constant raids of terror upon the building of Jerusalem and the temple. He gave them an ultimatum of converting to the Israelites' religion or dying. Of course, there was a mass conversion of all Esau Edom into Aryan Israel. Soon after this, clever and ambitious Jews infiltrated into the Israelite religion and soon usurped key positions of high authority. They forced the Aryan Levitical priesthood out of their office and put their own progeny in their places. King Herod, an Edomian Jew, which was the name the Romans and Greeks gave to Esau Edom and his progeny, placed his own men in the position of the high priest for political reasons. In fact, Herod remodeled and rebuilt the old temple, known as Zerubbabel's temple, and made it into a beautiful temple trimmed with silver, gold, and white marble on the outside. A question is raised. Could Herod have stolen the white marble face stones from the Pyramid of Gizeh to adorn the temple of God in Jerusalem? Remember, Jesus drew an analogy by saying to the Jews, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness." Matthew, the 23rd chapter, 22nd, 7th verse. Now, being in control of Aryan Israelites' religion, Esau Edom made a lot of changes in the theology. They embellished it with many more laws, rules, and rituals that were not found in the original Torah. They wrote things in the Talmud that gave Esau Edom and his progeny as Jews the authority to perform terrible and heinous acts of crime, rape, and murder upon non-Jews. As Jesus ministered to the multitude, he recognized these Jews, these false Israelites, who were proselytes, which prompted him to say, "You serpents, you generation of snakes, how can you escape the damnation of hell?" Matthew, the 23rd chapter, the 33rd verse. Jesus sought to expose some of them, for he said, "If you continue in my word, then you are also my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, We are Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How do you dare say we shall be made free? John the 8th chapter, the 31st to 33rd verses. With that statement, the Jews really blew their cover and exposed themselves as being the progeny of Esau Edom. Esau was truly a seed of Abraham through his father Isaac, but the seed of promise was continued only in Jacob Israel, who took his family to Egypt, where they were all in bondage for 210 years. Whereupon Jesus answered them, saying, I know that you say you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. Finally, Jesus ended up by saying to them, you are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. John the 8th chapter, the 44th verse. How could Jesus make such an accusation against these people? Because he knew that Esau Edom had taken wives of the Canaanite seed of the serpent race, Almighty God, and his parents forbade him to marry. Therefore, Jesus could rightfully say, ye serpents, ye offspring of vipers, hypocrites, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? That upon you Jews may come all the guilt of righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Matthew, the 23rd chapter, 35th verse. Here Jesus identified these Jews as the evil figs of Jeremiah, the 24th chapter, the 1st through 10th verses. Jeremiah was given two baskets of figs, a basket of very good figs and a basket of very evil figs. These two baskets represented the nation that was just rebuilt for the receiving of the Messiah. To the basket of good figs, Almighty God said he would give him a heart to know him. Jeremiah, the 24th chapter, the 7th verse. This is why Jesus said to these evil figs in John 8:43, why you do not understand my speech is because you cannot hear my word. It wasn't in their hearts to know him. These good figs, Almighty God said he would plant and not pluck them up. I will be their God, and they shall return to me with their whole heart. But the evil figs, which cannot be eaten, Almighty God said he would remove them to all the kingdoms of the earth to be a reproach, a proverb, a taunt, and a curse in all the places whither I shall drive them. Jeremiah, the 24th chapter, the 9th verse. And haven't they? So we see that the progeny of Esau Edom have always tried to imitate or take the place of whatever the children or house of Israel or Judah, which is modern Germany, were to be, or be Israel called the sheep of Almighty God's pasture. These Jews tried to be sheep also, but Jesus recognized them and called them wolves in sheep's clothing. Israel was the Lord's vineyard, but the Jews are the false vine, which can only be the vine of the earth, spoken of in Revelations, the 14th chapter, the 19th through 20th verses, which will end in a disastrous slaughter of the Jews. Spiritually regenerated Aryan Israel, united with true Aryan Judah, Germany, and all the other tribes of Israel, were to be formed into the new Zion, the new Jerusalem, JERUSALEM, the sanctuary of Almighty God, the new millennial kingdom of Christ on earth. But Jewry has been busy trying to duplicate and bring all these same things to pass in their own strength and power. That's why they are called Zionists and globalists, as they are trying to establish a new world order that will bring all nations and peoples under their dominion. The Jews are trying to achieve or steal the heritage that was promised to Jacob Israel by Almighty God. But it is now being revealed to the whole world that the Jews are only a counterfeit, an ersatz Israel, an inferior substitute for the real thing that only Jesus can bring. What is Almighty God going to do with the Jews and their progeny? Because they are responsible for the past several wars and all the misery that is in the world today, listen to Isaiah the 63rd chapter, the 1st through 3rd verses. Who is this that cometh from Edom, with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling or marching in the greatness of his strength. Bozrah was a major city in the land of Edom. It could represent Moscow today, where Esau marches some of his 4 million troops in Red Square, exhibiting his great strength in their marching grandeur. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? Their uniforms and marching technique might be flawless, but Almighty God can see through the outward appearance, and he could see their battle uniforms, which are red with blood, as if they had been treading in a wine press, which certainly is a picture of international Jewish communism today, of which countless millions have lost their lives in the past 70 years. Ezekiel the prophet continues to prophesy against the Jews and their vengeance against the house of Judah. Thus saith the Lord God, because that Edom hath dealt against the house of Judah, that's modern Germany, by taking vengeance, and hath greatly offended and revenged himself upon them. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, I will also stretch out mine hand upon Edom, and will cut off man and beast from it, and I will make it desolate from Teman, and they of Dedan shall fall by the sword. And I will lay my vengeance upon Edom, by the hand of my people Israel, and they shall do in Edom according to mine anger and according to my fury. And they shall know my vengeance, saith the Lord God, Ezekiel the 25th chapter, 12th through 14th verses. Isaiah continues to add to the prophecy of the Jews' judgment. And all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down, as the leaf falleth of the vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven, behold, it shall come down upon Edomia, Esau Edom, and upon the people of my curse to judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood, it is made fat with the fatness and with blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of rams, for the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozrah, and a great slaughter in the land of Edomia. And the unicorns shall come down with them, and the bullocks with the bulls, and their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with fatness. For the day of the Lord's vengeance, and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion, and the streams thereof shall be turned into pitch, and the dust thereof into brimstone, and the land thereof shall become burning pitch. It shall not be quenched night or day. The smoke thereof shall go up forever. From generation to generation it shall lie waste. None shall pass through it forever and ever. Isaiah, the 34th chapter, 4th through 10th verses. This prophecy has never been fulfilled as for yet, so it must have a future fulfillment. There is a verse of Scripture that speaks volumes found in 2 Esdras, 6th chapter, 7th through 9th verses. And I answered and said, what will mark the parting of the times, or when will the end of the first dispensation and the beginning of the second be? And he said to me, from Abraham to Isaac, for from him sprang Jacob and Esau, but Jacob's hand held Esau's heel from the beginning. For the Jew is the end of this age, and Jacob is the beginning of the one that follows. 2 Esdras, 6th chapter, 7th through 9th verses. Which means, even though Esau gained control over his brother Jacob during the last part of this dispensation, Jacob's hold on Esau's heel meant that it had always been Almighty God's plan and purpose that Jacob Israel would get the heritage back when the end of the Jewish reign was broken by Christ's anointed. Isaiah, the 10th chapter, the 27th verse. Then will begin the glorious millennial reign of Christ on earth. Obadiah and the Jews. The book of Obadiah is the smallest book in the old scriptures, only 21 verses long. But someone said that great and powerful things come in small packages. Well, here is a little package with one of the greatest indictments and judgments ever pronounced upon a group of people. We have no knowledge of the personal life of this prophet, nor do we know where he was when he wrote this prophecy. All that we do know, however, is that the name Obadiah means a worshiper of Yahweh. For truly only a worshiper of Yahweh could be trusted to deliver such a treatise of God's vengeance. The vision of Obadiah. Thus saith the Lord God Yahweh concerning Edom. Obadiah 1:1. Let's stop right here and set the stage. First of all, we need to know who Obadiah is prophesying about, and we find it is Edom. Edom is the whole subject of this indictment. And who is Edom? Edom is Esau, or rather, Esau is Edom. Thus dwelt Esau in Mount Seir. Esau is Edom. Genesis, the 36th chapter, the 8th verse. Esau was the brother of Jacob and became his most bitter enemy. After Isaac and Rebekah had been married for some time, Rebekah was found to be barren. So Isaac entreated the Lord concerning his wife's barrenness, and she conceived. Genesis, the 25th chapter, 20th through 26th verses. And her children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And the Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall separate from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau," which means red. "And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them." The story and scripture is quite reminiscent of the case of Eve in the 3rd chapter of Genesis when she bare Cain and Abel, who were also twins. However, her twins would not be at war with one another, as would Jacob at Esau, because Cain rose up and slew Abel before he had offspring. Whereupon Cain was exiled, went into the land of Nod, took a wife, and became the progenitor of an apostate race of people called Canaanites, who were defiant of Almighty God. The battle would be between her seed and Cain's degenerate seed. In other words, it would be a battle between the flesh of man and the Spirit of God. Here was the seedbed of contention for the conflict of the ages, the struggle between good and evil, right and wrong, and the fountainhead of this warfare was to stem from these two seed lines, the seed of the woman, Eve, and the seed of the serpent, Cain. Now here, we shall see a type and shadow of this conflict between the seed of the woman and carnal flesh enacted in the seeds of Jacob and Esau. God chose to use Isaac's special messianic seed of promise to demonstrate this conflict between the flesh and the spirit. Both Jacob and Esau are of the same lump of clay, Romans 9th chapter, 21st verse, even as Eve and Cain were of the same lump of clay. God is going to make one a vessel of honor and the other a vessel of dishonor. In time, Almighty God used the vessel of dishonor to exert tremendous pressure that forced the other vessel to become a vessel of honor. Esau, Edom, and his progeny exerted enough pressure upon Jacob that he called on God to come to his aid. Almighty God responded and changed Jacob's name and nature to Israel, which means a prince ruling with Almighty God. This experience did not occur, however, until Jacob had 4 wives, 11 sons, and 1 daughter. Only one son was born to Jacob after this change in name and nature. Benjamin was the only son born an Israelite. Being an Israelite meant he had spiritual discernment to know and recognize Almighty God. The disciples of Christ were all Benjaminites with the exception of Judas, who was a Jewish devil of Esau, Edomite, who had infiltrated into Christ's discipleship. Almighty God needed a negative force or a race of devils to exert pressure against Jacob and his seed so that they would call upon Almighty God to come to their rescue and save them. Almighty God's plan was to use the evils of the Jewish Esau, Edom's flesh and carnality to accomplish this purpose. No doubt this is the reason Jacob's hand took hold of Esau's heel to draw attention to the conflict that would continue to intensify itself, because Yahweh knew beforehand that Esau was going to himself to the serpent's race to intensify the hatred and jealousy between these two manner of people. This seems quite evident because Paul declares in Romans the 9th chapter, 11th through 13th verses, "For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said of her, the elder shall serve the younger, and it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated." Why would Yahweh hate or fail to accept dealings with Esau? Unless it was because of the foreknowledge of Almighty God, which saw that what Esau would do, or was it because Esau was foreordained to fulfill this condemnation? Whichever it was, the determined, stubborn will of Esau, in direct violation of his father's request not to take a wife of the Canaanites, that's Genesis the 28th chapter, the 6th verse, and Genesis the 36th chapter, 2nd and 3rd verses, took 3 of them, which added strong support to the serpent race. For this serpent Canaanite race, being of hybrid species, needs constant rejuvenation to sustain it by intermarriage with Adam's race, which is a superior race. That is why Jesus called the Jews a generation of snakes, serpents, and tares, because of their deceptive carnal natures in trying to integrate the people of Judah and Israel. Esau's collaboration with the serpent race added personal hate and jealousy to intensify the animosity generated by the birthright conspiracy between Jacob and Esau, led to the formation of the Edomite kingdom in Mount Seir, which later became known as Edomia. Remember, King Herod was an Edomian Jew. Exodus, the 17th chapter, 8th through 16th verses, records the encounter of Amalek, the grandson of Esau, with the children of Israel, just shortly after they were delivered out of Egypt. The warfare between these two bitter enemies, Israel and Esau, became a common thing in every generation thereafter, because Israel failed to destroy them in the first battle. Are you listening? To cut a long story short, in setting the stage, the Bible declares that Esau, Edom, and his progeny infiltrated into the Judah kingdom and dominated key positions and places of authority. Matthew, the 23rd chapter, the 2nd verse. By the time our Lord Jesus Christ began his ministry, the enemy Jew was entrenched, ready to give battle to Jesus in the spirit world. Matthew, the 23rd chapter, the 1st through 39th verses, and John, the 8th chapter, the 31st through 59th verses. So therefore, to identify Esau, Edom, the red today, and this is the real identity of Esau, how about red communism? Also, they say from their own Jewish encyclopedia, 1925 edition, volume 5, page 41, quote, Edom is in modern Jewry, end quote. If Edom today principally represents modern Jewry, then we can more readily see how these following verses in Obadiah come alive and live. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the nations. Arise ye, and let us rise up against Jewry in battle. Obadiah 1:1. There is an unhappy rumor or tidings going out from the Lord's people, for the Jew is being exposed to them as the power behind red communism in the UN. One world conspiracy of world domination, and the nations are hearing about it through the Aryan ambassador of the printed page of gospel literature and the Bible. Certainly not through the news media, because the Jews own all of the media, so they can keep the truth suppressed. Behold, I have made thee small among the nations. Thou art greatly despised. This is a very accurate first-time evaluation of the Jews. Israel is a very small nation, and they are despised by most other nations. The Jewish people, who are very closely drawn together through their Talmud, Judaism, B'nai B'rith, and international Zionism, may number well over 20 million people. Though scattered among the nations, race and aims are very distinctive. With such a small number, and with their small Jewish nation not any larger than Vermont or New Hampshire, is certainly making great demands and creating much distress and violence in the world, and especially in the Arab world, where they are greatly despised. Quote, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the cleft of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Verse 3. The Jew is a very proud and boastful sort of a person, and especially so since he commands such high and exalted positions in the world of finance, politics, and the media. But listen to this, quote, for thou that dwellest in the cleft of the rock, end quote. This may have fit Esau better when he dwelt in the rock fortress of Petra of ancient times, but it certainly fits him even more so now. What rock or cleft of the rock does the Edomian Jew dwell in today? Remember when Daniel said, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a stone kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Daniel, the 2nd chapter, the 34th and 35th verses, and the 44th verse. Well, America, which word means Amer, heavenly, and Rica, kingdom, and the Anglo-Saxon, Germanic, and kindred Israel nations are that stone kingdom. And the Esau Edomite Jew is sitting in high, exalted, key positions and offices in these rock nations, which are ordained to become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ. While he boasts of saying, who shall bring me down to the ground? Certainly nobody in the whole world can dislodge the Jew from his death grip upon the world now, except our Lord Jesus Christ and his body of glorified Aryan army of saints. So while Esau is serving in his dual role or dual citizenship of a Jew first and an American or German or Englishman second, secondly, as he dwells among the lofty crags or clefts of the rock nations, he smugly says in his heart, who shall bring me down from my high position in government, or finance, or media, where I am robbing and stripping these nations of power and wealth while creating and empowering Zionism as a super red one world kingdom in the framework of the United Nations. Though thou shalt exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith Yahweh. Who is the eagle? The eagle is king of birds and commands the heavens. Therefore the eagle is the emblem of the heavenly kingdom people Israel and seal of our great American and German heritage. The Jew has most cleverly established himself in the eyes of most Christians and nations as the Israel of God, the chosen people of God, thus exalting himself as the eagle, while the real Israel of God are the blinded, deceived, and brainwashed peoples of Aryan Anglo-Saxonism. Quote, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, end quote. And who are the stars? Again, the Bible answers, Joseph's dream of the sun, his father, the moon, his mother, and the 11 stars, Joseph's brothers, bowing down to his star, America, Joseph's land, Genesis, the 37th chapter, 9th and 10th verses. The stars represent the 12 sons of Jacob Israel, or the Jacob Israel nations in the world today. Hasn't the Jew carefully made his nest in the high places of every Israel nation where he dominates and controls almost every phase of their way of life? Isn't this exactly what Yahweh said would happen if Israel forgot God and refused to keep his commandments? Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, the 68th verse. Hitler warned you about this, but you would not listen. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Deuteronomy 28, 43rd and 44th verses. Thank God Yahweh can see repentance and deliverance for a remnant of the Israel people in the great and terrible day of Yahweh's judgment. For he says, thence will I bring Judaism down, saith the Lord. If thieves come to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If the grape gatherers came to thee, would they not leave some grapes? Verse 5. Yahweh is carefully implying here the absoluteness and finality in which the Jew would be cut off, without one left. A robber would take only what he wanted, and likewise the grape gatherer, but Yahweh's indictment calls for a total annihilation of the entire Esau Jew progeny. Why? For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. Obadiah 1, 10. And violence against all righteous blood shed on earth shall be laid to the curse of Satan's Jewish children. Matthew, the 23rd chapter, 34th through 45th verses. This indictment was declared by none other than Jesus Christ himself. How are the things of Esau searched out, and how are his hidden things revealed? Verse 6. These questions were designed with a hint that conditions at the end time would warrant a probe into the Jews' world-shaking activities. For Yahweh knew with Satan's success in amassing the nations of the world together under his regimentation, like international communism, that Esau's Jewish progeny would be so full of pride that he would, quote, exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, and would even sit himself in the temple of God, that's Aryan Anglo-Saxonism, showing himself that he is God. 2 Thessalonians 2nd chapter 1st through 12th verses. Why, this is the Antichrist, some of you are saying. Well, hasn't the Jew always been Antichrist? Paul implies that when this exaltation and falling away begins, it is time to reveal, quote, this man of sin, the Jew, as the son of perdition, 2 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter, 3rd verse. For he must be revealed as Satan manifested in a literal people. And are they not? Now these Jews, who are furiously trying to create a new world order, are suddenly coming into focus loud and clear to us that this is Satan about to achieve his goal as God and potentate of this planet Earth. It is high time for us to shake the scales from our deluded eyes and see the hidden picture of Satan's plan and program, which has been carefully camouflaged in the landscape picture of our everyday way of life before it is absolutely too late. The prophet Obadiah laments for Esau Edom as he says, quote, in the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his, Jacob's, forces, and foreigners entered into his gates and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast one of them. But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother in a day that he became a stranger, in the day of his disaster, neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah, Germany, in the day of their destruction. Neither shouldst thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Thou shouldst not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldst not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. That is, Germany after World War II. Neither shouldst thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did try to escape. You know, that happened in Dresden, was fulfilled when the maggot pilots of our great Army Air Force, 39 P-51s, found the people from the hospitals, old folks, children, little girls, hiding and going along the routes out of Dresden and laying on the shore of the Elbe River and strafed them. Neither shouldst thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. Delivered up. You know what that was. The infamous Nuremberg trials where the Jews took the Germans of the tribe of Judah and tried them under false charges. But remember, for the day of Yahweh is near upon all the heathen nations. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return unto thine own head. Obadiah, 1st chapter, 11th through 15th verses. As the prophet Ezra stated, for the Jew is the end of this age, and Jacob, the Aryan, is the beginning of the one that follows. 2 Ezra 6, chapter 9, verse. For as the final verses of Obadiah record, quote, but upon Mount Zion, that's newly restored and regenerated New Israel America, shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau, the Jew, for stubble. And they shall kindle in them and devour them. And there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for Yahweh hath spoken it. And saviors shall come up on Mount Aryan to judge the mount of the Jew. And the kingdom shall be Almighty God Yahweh's. Amen. It's a very good thing that we live in America. I recently heard about a country where a bunch of tyrants are said to have conspired against and attacked a family because the father would not become an informer for its government. You see, here in America, back in the 1940s, We were told as young men that we should go overseas and show no mercy toward the terrible Germans in World War II in order to prevent those Nazis from coming over here and killing our wives and children. This man's 13-year-old son was shot in the back trying to protect his father and his parents. As if this were not enough, the next day, this same gang of officials shot a longtime friend of the family for trying to help defend them. And then these tyrants committed the greatest of crimes. They had one of their snipers shoot the man's wife right between the eyes while she was holding her 8-month-old baby in her arms. She was killed instantly. What terrible act was she committing at the time? She was holding the cabin door open to let her dear husband back into their home. Now, all of this happened in Russia, right? Wrong. It happened right here in America, in the state of Idaho, and was committed by our own Americans. And this is what they told us only happened in other parts of the world. And if we went over to Germany during World War II and killed all those nasty Nazis, all evil would disappear from the earth. Well, that's what we get for listening to the Jews and fighting their wars for them. No wonder Yahweh is coming to cleanse the earth with fire. Well, it's time to sign off on this broadcast. The time will be very short until we visit you again with another broadcast. So for that reason, we never really say goodbye.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a
CD
of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.